We're back on, Paddy.
We're recorded. Vocal cords are all lubed up. Ready to go.
All right, today.
Is that weird? Is that weird to say that? Is that weird?
Your vocal cords lubed up.
All right, ready to go. All right.
Have you been drinking lube?
Yeah, water.
Okay, fair enough.
So, doesn't everyone?
No. I don't, but up to you, mate.
Anyway,
you just survived 171 k's. That works. Don't try this at home.
Yeah. So what was your top secret? I drink lube every morning.
Yeah. Good.
Anyway, what are we talking about?
Last episode we said we would talk about UTMB, but apparently outside of UTMB, getting the three of you boys together is hard work.
It is hard work.
Yeah. Like the way it's looking, we're talking UTMB next week.
Yeah, the challenge is just getting myself and Mike and the other two lads all together in one room at some point in time. Proving tricky, but I don't want to do it in injustice. So we'll wait till all four of us together.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we'll, All right, we'll get Jacko to ramble lots of bullshit down your ears.
Yeah, we just need to calm down his laughing a bit.
Yeah.
Well, just keep him at a distance.
Yeah, keep him at a distance from the microphone.
Yeah.
Anyway, that'll be soon.
Yeah, so today we want to discuss consistency. Partially, because we all know the phrase consistency is key. And I think for running your very most important base should be running consistent. I'm not saying running a consistent pace, but just being consistent with your training before you add in speed work, before you add in hills, before anything else. It doesn't matter if you first start off or you're leading up to an event. Running on a regular basis.
So Mike, what does consistent training mean? Like, how does someone know if they are being consistent? And how do you know when you reach that point?
I think it's slightly different for everyone. Some people run 5 days a week. Other people run 2 days a week. It really depends on the individual. But let's go for you're running 3 days a week. Is that every week? Are you running 3 days a week? Have you been doing that for the last 6 months? Or are some weeks 3 days, other weeks are 5 days? Some weeks you run 10K, other weeks you run 50K in total. If what you're looking for is running at an easy pace for, let's say you're running 3 days a week and you've been doing that for the last 6 months. And you can gradually increase your total load, but just running consistently at the same pace throughout your
having
12 weeks, 16
and
weeks.
And I'll say that adding to that, doing something consistently for a long period of time that your body can tolerate with no injuries, no niggles, no nothing, and actually feeling good and strong and happy about it. Yeah, so that's what we would call a consistent base.
Yeah,
for someone that's 3 5-kilometer runs per week. For someone that's running 6 days per week, for a total of 100 kilometers per week, depends on your level. But doing that consistently, and I'd argue in a pain-free way or in a way that feels good and strong. And when we're talking a consistent base, that we're referring to mostly just easy running, mostly cruisy stuff, not a emphasis on hills or speed or interval training or anything. So once you've got a consistent base, that means physically your body can tolerate it. And when we're talking physically, we're talking muscles, tendons, ligaments, bones, they can tolerate the load that you're giving them. Once you've got that tolerance to a good consistent load over several months, we know that, there's a degree of strength and a degree of adaptation that's taken place. So then you can add in speed work, hills, tempo stuff, races sort of thing. But we know that if you do that and you've only been running, properly for 1 month, that's not enough time for your muscles, tendons, ligaments, bones to have adapted to the load of running. And if you go for a few jobs and you add in some speed work and increase your mileage, then that's when you get hurt and injured. Ignoring every other factor, ignoring the fact if you've got you know, a weak hip or a stiff ankle, or if you've had a previous history of injury, like ignoring everything, the first most like fundamental thing is just to be consistent like that, develop the tolerance and adaptation to load, and then, you know, and then like, have fun, then do speed work.
I think the big thing also that people have to know is it never stops being important. You can't be consistent for 6 months and then go, sweet, I've been consistent for 6 months, now I'm good. Like that consistency is your forever base.
That's right. That's right. When we're talking about running well and injury free for the years, you've got to consistently be consistent.
Yes. Paddy is eating some nuts, and it's really loud in the microphone, but we're okay with that.
Is it really loud?
It's really, really loud. I'm eating nuts. Yeah.
Oh, fuck, this got weird. So I've lubed my throat, now I'm eating nuts. I'm not drinking beer, though.
Yeah. So, yes.
The thing that really gets me is being consistent means like every week. Like you can't be consistent for 3 months and then take 2 weeks off and then jump straight back into the training load that you were at. So I see it a lot where if people go on holidays for 2 weeks, or if they get like the flu and they're wiped out for 2 weeks, or they do something different, then that counts as a decrease, massive decrease in load. That counts as not being consistent. And that's a huge risk factor for injuries, niggles, pain, whatever you want to call it. If you resume your load from like, if you take a couple of weeks off and then go straight back to where you were, your body can decondition so fast, like insanely fast.
I think
for me, if I take less than a week off, I think that's usually a period of time where I can actually just like freshen up and give myself a bit of a rest, a little kind of mini micro break.
Yeah,
say like 4 or 5 days, and that doesn't really decondition your tendons and muscles too much. But taking like a full 2 weeks off, that's like substantial deconditioning of tendons and muscles. And it doesn't seem like much. If you've trained for 6 months, take 2 weeks off, you think, oh, I'll be fine. But in reality, your tendons have gone, oh, cool, we don't need to run anymore. Let's just get deconditioned. It happens so quickly.
Yeah.
And that's when people get hurt as well.
And that's like the thing is you don't notice it because cardiovascular-wise, it doesn't affect you that much.
Oh yeah,
you're, 2 weeks off. You're 2 weeks off, and you're like, cool. Oh, I used to run at this pace, and you can just do that again. Like you won't struggle more. The main thing is there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Your tendons and the rest of your body goes, nah, mate, I'm not used to this anymore. And it's not like you lose your entire base if you take 2 weeks off. It's you just have to take a step back and go, cool, rebuild from like 2 steps back. You don't have to go back to square one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And if you were doing, I don't know, say like 60 kilometers per week with like 2 speed sessions in it, and then you take a bit of time off, the next week you come back, you might be thinking, all right, I'm just going to do like 30 kilometers with 1 speed session, monitor how your body feels, like really, like honestly, genuinely checking with yourself that that's fine, go from 30 up to like 40, 45 for the next week. Keep that 1 speed session, then your third week back you might be back at your full load. But again, that's so different for everyone, so there's a degree of, I guess, you need to kind of go within yourself and need to like genuinely check in and feel how you're going, how you're tolerating the load. Do you feel good and strong, or do you feel like, oh, my calves are a bit tight after that? That would indicate you're probably not tolerating it.
The other thing with consistency is it actually helps everything. It helps your speed, it helps your tolerance, it helps your performance, because your body is used to running and used to that load. So when you then put it under stress, that's not an issue. Because if you look at you, Paddy, you've been really consistent leading up to UTMB ish
Yeah, well, when I didn't have my foot in the moon boot, I was really consistent
post moon boot. Like your consistency just went to the highest level, and you improved all your times without doing much fast running, because you just had
I noticed that when I had sort of 4 to 5 months of like just being really consistent, I just felt fit and strong, and things didn't hurt as much, even though my load was massive. My load was as high as it's ever been in my whole entire life.
Yeah.
But I was consistent with it, and I didn't really have many niggles. Like, you know, you do a 60K run, you feel a bit tight the next day, whatever. That's pretty standard, pretty normal, but no niggles. So that was cool. And I was actually getting quick. Like I set a 10 kilometer personal best during that, I guess we'll call it a training block, set a 10 kilometer personal best, like substantially, and also did fairly well in the City of the Surf, like nearly got my personal best when I wasn't really taking the event too seriously. So without specific speed work for a 10K event, I was just running a lot and running consistently and running well, even a lot of just like slow ultra training, and like my 10K got better. And I think what that rams home to me is that like every day of the week, I would take 6 months of just decent, consistent training over 2 months of hard training every single time.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's having 6 months of quality, consistent training always beats 2 months of cramming in and trying to get it done.
Yeah. It's like an exam when you're in high school. But no one ever does the 6 months of quality study.
I was about to say that's a bad example.
Yeah, yeah. High school was okay for me.
I don't want to go that far.
Yeah. So I see people, and it's understandably, it's a common frustration, right? Like people are wanting to get quicker, get faster. Like, cool. But maybe I need better shoes. Maybe like, oh, I don't know. Maybe I need to get my running form looked at. Maybe I need to do more speed work. I'll get a different coach. It's like, dude, just like run gradually a little bit more consistently over like a long period of time. Your body will adapt. Yeah, for sure. Not discounting the needs of like reasonable shoes and getting, you know, your running looked at.
Yeah, but that's...
But there's just this element which people, I think it's inconvenient because it's a long period of time. It's like half a year or even a full year of just good training. It's a long game.
Yeah.
But it's probably the most effective thing.
And the thing, the shoes, and they're looking at your running techniques and mixing up your training. That's also the 1% stuff. But the 95% stuff is being consistent and doing that week after week after month, year after year, and just keeping that up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think
sure. So.
Yeah, you go, mate. Now you go.
I go.
You go.
Now you hang up first. Now you hang up.
No, you hang up.
I think the one thing how do you be consistent? Because like injuries interrupt consistency, but if you're consistent, you'll prevent injuries. So it's kind of like this like chicken and the egg situation. Just start slow, start small. That's kind of the big main thing for me is like every single person listening to this podcast could run 1 kilometer 3 times a week and you'll be fine. Like literally every single person. But if we all run 10 kilometers 3 times a week, some people might get a bit sore. If we run 30 kilometers 3 times a week, most people will be sore. So there's this just level of tolerance. So find what you can tolerate, start low, start small, be consistent with that, and just gradually build up. So if you do that, you will reduce injuries for sure. Not eliminate them completely, but you will reduce your risk of injury. And reducing your risk of injury is probably the most effective way to be consistent. And it's kind of like this chicken and egg thing. Keep your injuries low, be consistent, and they feed into each other.
Yeah. What I was going to say is that, yes, you want to be consistent. Yes, you want to build up. But you also have to look at your training and deload yourself every now and then. So you can't always just be building to more volume. What I normally do for my athletes is I just make sure that every fourth or fifth week they have an easy week.
Yeah.
Where
define easy week?
Let's say normally you run 50 k's a week over 3 easy runs and 1 hard run. Yeah. I would keep the 3 easy runs, 1 hard run. I would just instead of going 50 k, I might go 35 in total.
Yeah,
and just to give the body a bit of extra time to recover.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I might make that speed session just that little bit easier. Instead of going out at 90%, you might go, cool. Instead of doing that, we'll do the same sort of session, but you're only going to run at 70%.
Yeah, totally makes sense. And I think there's a bit of an onus on the runner to do that as well.
Absolutely.
I think runners should be aware and conscious of their own bodies and how they're feeling, and like, even though your program might say you've got to get up and do 14 kilometers at 6 minute pace or whatever it might be. But if you're feeling sore and stiff and tight, you have to have the onus is on you to say, no, I'm actually just going to take this as a rest day and day off. And if you get yourself a good, if you're working within this, the structure of a program, you have to have a good coach that will play ball with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Big time. Do your runners do that, Mike? Do you do that with them?
Yeah, all the time. Like I'm coaching Mel at the moment, who is doing really well so far. She got into Boston, so that's the next big goal. She's got a half marathon nice. in about 3 weeks, I think, in cool. Toronto.
Cool.
Yeah, and she's going really well. But like every fourth week is an easier week. And then she has the freedom to shuffle things around. When she goes, I had a really busy day at work.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to do that hard session, but I'm just going to do an easy 7K. But then she does that hard session later in the week. And I'm like, cool. I think it's important to fit running around your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's part of your life, but there's other stuff to life that if you have kids, if you have work, like you need to fit it in. It shouldn't be, I'm just have to force it in at 5 a.m. in the morning because there's no other time, but I feel terrible, but I'm doing it anyway.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think so. I think so for sure. I actually had a patient come in who's a good friend of mine. Actually, he came in yesterday. He's training for a full Ironman triathlon, which is in 8 weeks. And he came in and he's like, man, my hamstrings are killing me. My hips are sore. My calves are tight. The bottom of my feet are sore.
Mm.
And I'm like, which leg? And he's like, oh, both legs. I'm like, okay, cool. So you're not injured. You're just like clearly overloaded and sore and overworked. But I'm not going to tell him to train a bit less because he's got an Ironman in 8 weeks. What I know about this bloke is he's got his partner and they have a 7-month-old child and he runs his own personal training business. And I think he does quite often 14, 15-hour work days. So I'm looking at him and I'm going, well, you've got a 7-month-old, you're getting 2 to 3 hours of sleep at a time, you know, waking up 2 or 3 times during the night. And you're working 15-hour days and you're trying to train for an Ironman, like something's going to have to give. And he's walked into the clinic being like, I am sore. And I'm like, cool, as a physio, I'm not even going to look at your hips. Like I'm just going to tell you to like change one of those things, which is for him is freaking hard. Like you can't just not take care of your daughter or like
not go to work.
Yeah, so I think the thing that might give for him is just like, maybe this week or next week, he just reduces his training load by 20% and tries to, you know, shift that into an extra hour of sleep at night. And that will allow him to like stave off injuries and be a bit more consistent.
Mm.
But I think, yeah, you need to be taking care of the rest of yourself as well, the rest of your life outside of sport.
I actually had a very similar story with one of my patients that just, like, I've been seeing him for a couple of weeks. He's got Melbourne Marathon next week. And he came in a couple of weeks ago just going, I just feel tired, can't focus at work, can't do anything, I just feel heavy. I'm like, cool. My training has been super consistent for the last 6 months. Paddy's eating nuts again.
Is it that loud? I'm really so trying loud. To chew gently. I'm so hungry.
It's all right, mate. Okay, just eat.
I'll swallow them whole.
Okay, no chewing. I just had a good sit down and a chat with him and I said, cool, let's talk about what else is happening in life. And like work was a bit stressful. And the main change we made was he's going to get an extra 2 hours sleep a night. I just said, go to bed earlier.
Oh, that's like, the best.
Cool. And I said, how much are you eating? And he sort of described what we would eat in a day. I'm like, mate, try to eat more. Cause it seemed like he was eating enough for a normal human being, but not for someone that runs 100Ks a week.
Yeah.
So I said, like, eat more, sleep more. And I saw him the week later, and he was like, I feel he's better. I can focus at work. Runs feel easier. Like, we didn't change his training load at all. He made the decision to skip 2 runs and do them easier. I'm like, yeah, fair enough. If you're not feeling it, you're not feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
But all those other factors like played a role. And now he's good to go for next week.
Sweet. Awesome. Sometimes you actually just need someone to tell you that. Mm. It's hard to see that when you're operating within your own sphere, but if you have someone external, like a coach, should be able to, or are you a physio or whatever, or just even like a friend or a training partner, should be able to pick up on those things. It might take someone external from you to point out something which in hindsight is like blatantly obvious.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's real good.
So yeah. and then once you have a consistent base, then you add in all the fun stuff, the variety of, you know, hills and more intense speed work and tempo work and mixing up your training.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, big time. Definitely adding that in, and then yeah, being consistent with that as well.
Yeah.
Consistently doing your speed work. Yeah, for sure. That's when you can start to peak with your training over, you know, a few weeks, I suppose, leading into an event, and you taper down, and then you're like fresh, you're strong, and you go into a race and you get a PB. Bang! That's how you do it.
Easy. Like, why don't more people run PBs?
Because runners are dumb, Mike.
Oh, yeah, that little thing. I forgot for a second.
Mm-hmm. So I think this is kind of good timing for me to have this kind of chat as well, because I am in a position where I have no rates coming up for 6 months. Well, nothing serious, nothing that I really care deeply about for 6 months. So I'm looking at this next 6 month period, and I'm going to have about, you know, probably up to another month to sort of cool down from UTMB and just get back to like a healthy lifestyle and exercise and loving it. And then that gives me like 5-ish months leading into a marathon. So I'm just going to get my running up there. While I say like less running, I'll still be doing like 40 or 50 Ks a week, but just enjoying it, cruising, loving it. And that's kind of nice for me. And then getting into the gym for like 6-8 weeks, adding onto the strength. And yeah, then just increasing my load gradually. And then for like 8 weeks out from the marathon, I'll be doing a lot more speed work and getting in.
Yeah.
So like I'm looking at April 2020 as a bit of a target goal for me. And that starts now in October, at the start of October.
Yeah. What is it? Canberra?
Because the Canberra Marathon. So I had a friend beat my personal best by 2 seconds the other day at Berlin, and I'm really upset. So I have to update my marathon PB, which was at Canberra in 2017. So it'll be three years to the day. And I just think my marathon PB needs a bit of an update. So I've got 6 months to do it. So I'm actually like playing the long game here and kind of pumped about it.
Yeah, cool.
It'd be like a little experiment for myself.
Less hippie running, more planned running.
Transitioning from hippie running to planned running over the next 4 months.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And if I fuck up, you can all stop listening to the podcast.
Yeah, like if we also in that 6 months, if we can like break your mate's kneecaps, then we'll be sweet. Not to be like,
yeah, that's what running.
Not to be aggressive, but just as an insurance.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's what running is about, is hurting everyone else so you perform better. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Perfect.
Nice. Cool. Go do it. It's really easy to sit back here and chat about this sort of stuff, right? Like the inconsistent. Yeah, it's like makes sense, right? It's easy to sit back and train, but like, man, to actually put it into practice is hard, and it requires, you know, a certain degree of flexibility and a degree of prioritizing other things in your life. So like everyone has their own level of that. So that's going to be a challenge for me. There's a few things are going to happen in my life over the next few months. So prioritizing things will be interesting, and it's going to be like a fun challenge.
Like I think for everybody, it's like, be honest with yourself and don't go, I'm going to run 5 days a week. Look at your actual week and your life and go, oh, where can I fit this in?
Yeah. Yeah. Do I want to lose all my friends?
Exactly. Do I want to not spend time with my newborn, or do I have a really high stress job that is long hours? That means you can only run twice a week. Fine. But make that twice a week consistent.
Yeah. Boom.
And if you want more, you can shift things and go, cool, I'm going to try and fit in a third run every week. And that might vary week to week on which day that is, but try to fit it in.
That's it. Boom. Good coach helps you with that.
Absolutely.
Sweet. Cool. That is, I guess that's, I feel like Forrest Gump, but that's all I have to say about that. I think this is like kind of what you do, Mike, almost semi for a living when you're not massaging, is like kind of coaching and planning these things out. Like that's literally like your, what you do.
That's what I
do. So if anyone like, but if anyone, yeah, it's a good point actually. You don't do it, you love it. If anyone wants like a bit of a personal kind of input, then message us, because like Mike will do it.
Yeah, I'm happy to chat online and have a chat with people to go, oh, I'm confused about my plan or what am I doing? And I'm happy to help people with that.
Yeah, for sure. So just message us.
All right.
We'd love to help. We got a few other things that we're working on in the background. So I'll just leave that little comment there and say that we might have some things to show you over the coming weeks.
Yes.
But we're working on a couple of things.
Exciting things. We'll see. We think they're exciting.
Yeah. Cool. And we're trying not to be dumb about it.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, Paddy.
Awesome, dude. Good chat.
Good chat. Well, hopefully next week we'll
round up,
go face to face and chat to the boys.
Got to round them up and have a chat. It'll be good. Awesome, dude. Thanks for the chat. Well, I'll see you soon.
See you soon, mate.